What do you want?
Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list?
Look.
You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
We are live, Patriot Power Hour. March 9th, 2021, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, here with my co-host, Future Dan of FutureDanger.com. How you doing there, buddy?
Yeah, going to knock out another week of Patriot Power Hour, talk about current events, talk about what's going on in the network, Prepper Broadcasting Network, that is. And, you know, just hit the news like we usually do, Ben.
Absolutely. We try to bring the latest, really true real-time news analysis, but also kind of that long-term trend, try to hit that sweet spot of making it relevant, but some of the analysis evergreen if possible. So absolutely, of course, futuredanger.com and prepperbroadcasting.com. We're super stoked to be embarking on more than a year now with PBN. Great stuff. So Future Dan, you know, it's essentially, it's been about 1 year since the lockdown began on this, it was March 9th, 2021. I believe around my work personally, like March 11th last year, I believe, said, you know, no more working in the office. But wherever you are, like within a week or two of now, it's kind of the official lockdown quarantine, I would say. And it's been like the longest year ever, but also extremely quick. So many civil liberties destroyed. Instead of forced vaccination, we got voluntary vaccination levels that have just totally outpaced what I ever expected. But it's been pretty crazy. But I know some people are getting back to life. You have also been one to even tell me, hey, time to get back to the real life. You know, we can't all be so scared hiding in our homes. So we're at an impasse here in a way. I mean, COVID seems to be dying down from the numbers. But we're seeing potentially another COVID bailout right now, right? This $1.9 trillion stimulus. We're seeing all types of crazy financial and political actions. Of course, the masks, mandates, and lack thereof. And just, I don't know. What do you think? Just real quick, I sprung this upon you. We didn't talk about this at all. But this past year, if you had anything to reflect upon, and I guess more importantly, where we're going in the next year.
My reflections on this year was it did not pass quickly. Just because you can remember a year ago doesn't mean it was a fast year. That thing slowly developed, and it was tough. It was tough on every single person. The amount of people that just couldn't go and make new friends, meet strangers, just strike up conversations in public, and, you know, is tremendous. I miss being able to just meet new people out on the street, in the stores, in businesses. And when you do meet them, if you're fortunate enough to have the type of job that has gone essentially online, Zoom, Skype, Microsoft Teams meetings, you know, WebExes, video telephone conferences, to coin a term, you know, you're still, you know, getting that experience where sometimes people show themselves, sometimes they hide. and the entire social dynamic is
different,
just artificial. I guess it's allowed a lot of people to listen to more podcasts, which is good. Thank you all to listening to Patriot Power Hour. And
our numbers definitely gone up in PBN as a whole, definitely. But that's not necessarily a good thing, but it is in a way. So there's always silver linings, I guess, or at least bronze linings.
It's good that people are getting the message. We're happy to be part of a pretty strong year of growth on Prepper Broadcasting Network.
And I, just looking where I was 1 year ago in terms of my preparedness mindset, let alone my actual preps and plans, but just my mindset, I'm a lot more serious now and a lot more not lackadaisical or assuming I got things covered. Because I wasn't as prepared for the quarantine, and especially if it had been true, like let's say 10% of the United States population died in the last year, which obviously, thank God, it didn't happen. But that would have been possible, worst case scenario type of things we were thinking of could happen back in January, February last year. Right. I was not as prepared for that situation as I should have been. And I kind of was like, oh my God, I need to. And trust me, it's not just the lack of toilet paper. No, I had a lot of toilet paper. Just a stupid joke. I know us real preppers are sick of that. But anyway, that's a good thing. You're right. There are some silver linings. There's some bronze linings, as I said. But it's still like, that kind of kicked me in gear and as a beta test. So I use that as, wow, that was like a close call. And in fact, it really was devastating for a lot of people. So can't be messing around anymore.
Yeah, it's the long-term effects I'm worried about. The children who didn't have school, that's going to have an impact. A year and a half of missing any legitimate education when you're in first and second grade, it's going to play out in, 12 years when those people vote, right? So, this is just the frog boiling kind of metaphor where we endured that, and perhaps people feel as though they've returned to normal, but the long-lasting effects of the isolation, I'm concerned that it's not going to be measurable. It's not going to be just a headline you see one day on Future Danger. It's so basic a level of our society that, hopefully in 2021, we start to see lots of states break away from it. And if it takes believing in an experimental vaccine to have it happen, then so be it at this point. And that could have long-term health effects that manifest themselves, on the same time scale as the that big fat hole in education for a lot of our public school students, which is most of our country, right?
Oh, I mean, you pretty much nailed it right on the head. I mean, myself, as a mid-30s, gainfully employed, but in that kind of white collar, I'm able to work at home and be actually probably more efficient than going to the office. I'm not going to lie. I already went to college. I already went to frat parties. I already went to prom. I already went to preschool. I already, dated people and got married and got engaged and went on vacations and traveled to London to go to Lloyd's of London insurance. I already did all that. So like 1 year off, it kind of messed with me. But what I'm saying is I was kind of like, oh, well, geez, I could use a year off. I've done a lot of crap in the last 35 years. But like you said, there's tons of people who were in formative years, or maybe their parents, may have passed away and they couldn't be near them, or just all types of horrible things. So I agree, man. It's been like 1 year. I think we can still kind of bounce back, but there's articles, and we're going to get to the news blitz, of course, but a lot more people consider themselves germaphobes. I know personally, I'm kind of, if I watch, here's a good example. It's on HBO. It's called Impractical Jokers. It's a really funny show. And they go into Union Square or places in New York, and they talk in the public, and it's like a hidden camera show or whatever, right? And it's really funny. It was all recorded pre-COVID. And when I see it occasionally, I'm like, oh my God, they're within 2 feet of these people, talking in front of their face, or ooh, they just touched them. They're right in front of them. And even myself, maybe I'm a ninny, but on the flip side, even I've been brainwashed. And I'm like inside of me, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe, get away. You can't do that anymore. And so that's psychological. That's messed with society for sure.
When this first started coming on and the first report we had on Future Danger was New Year's Eve of 2019. nick of time to get it in the year that it was named after. Carried it as this mystery virus, wet market, Wuhan, you know, outbreak. China went to major quarantines, locked down the country. Everybody braced for it hitting us, right? When that was all coming along, we were, you know, had to treat it like disease X, like it was going to be 10% lethal.
Yep.
And then it was a whipsaw where by April or May, when the rest of mass society, you know, started to say, hey, this could be really dangerous, and went ahead and started listening to the experts and the government and the, you know, the necessary measures, we began to realize this is not that kind of lethal disease. It's lethal, especially if you're obese and older, but it's not, you know, going to wipe out 10% of us. And by then it was too late. Everybody had made up their minds that they're going to act as though it was that lethal, and we are where we are today. And I, in hindsight, I don't know how that was going to be prevented, but I never can get it out of my mind. The fact, you know, looking for news, looking for updates, looking at the situation this time last year, you know, up until about this time last year, there was just these mainstream news articles, and you just if you search on COVID and masks, all you'd get in your results in Google is how masks couldn't protect you. That there's no reason to wear a mask, that the flu was several times more dangerous than SARS, which, you know, that bird flu, you know, in 2007 and 8 time frame, that killed like 900 people. And we were quoting that as, you know, the benchmark for one of these Asian diseases that emerges. And you know, the articles were, no, don't worry about buying masks. You don't need them. And that flipped after everybody saw how dangerous it wasn't, and I think the authorities were stockpiling the masks in case it was, and actually, you know, mainstream media has put out what, by today's standards, was completely false information, that masks don't protect you. Now we're on the exact opposite end with people fighting to not have to wear masks with proof of the original thesis that was the mainstream media's position. You know, last January, February, two Februarys ago.
Yep. And one phrase I haven't heard for a while, but I just came to mind when I was thinking about where we were 1 year ago. Remember, what was it? Was it bend the curve? Was that what it was?
That was what it was supposed to be under the Trump White House. We were going to lock down for
21 days,
finite period of time. Yeah, to bend the curve back so that the hospitals weren't overrun. So that needlessly people didn't die because the facilities couldn't manage it. And the amount of people that just went along with that becoming semi-permanent.
New and some normal, states,
it's like Massachusetts right now, that's just the predominant view, that now you wear a mask and social distance forever, for the rest of your life. And I can't imagine what it's like being like 4, 5, 6 years old growing up in this. And being, you know, accustomed to this when they were young.
Oh, yeah, they'll be affected. You were talking like 10 years when they vote, but really like 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And that'll even pass on to their kids for some way. And sociologists and, I guess, anthropologists have looked at this in the past, and flus or wars or starvation periods, they do have, it has reverberated effects for literally like multiple generations, so... pretty crazy, but I still think we can come back from it. But like you said, we got kind of lulled into this new normal. Some people actively promoted, and not a good situation. So if it's another year of this, I think the damage will be more than twice as bad, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it would be. And there's lots of people that, you know, just see the authority, you know, seek the authority of government to have these kind of controls, right? And the next frontier of this is the COVID, you know, the vaccination passports and what they can take away from you if you don't get the vaccine. And we're going to hit some kind of peak hysteria of that. And I'm afraid, you know, the courts are just going to defer to executive authority everywhere they can. Even if the disease isn't that deadly, it's not up to the court to decide how deadly it is. Because, of course, most people would recognize that if we did have disease X that was getting, you know, double-digit percentage lethality rate, that, you know, lots of severe measures would be put in place for public health. That's not this, but the rule set's in place, and we're liable to be stuck with it.
All right, guys, we're going to break. We'll be right back with the News Blitz. Patriot Power Hour.
The ultimate in vehicular preparedness. Fire Edge. Universal mag carrier. Holds firearms, stun guns, flashlights, tourniquets, medical supplies right in your door pocket. When you need to fire, you want a Fire Edge. Visit fireedge.org. Use the promo code PBN. Save $7 off your order and get free shipping. Promo code PBN. All right? Visit fireedge.org today.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour back. Time for your News Blitz this March 9th, 2021. Let's hit it straight away. Of course, my browser crashes right when I'm about to read it. Here we go. President signs voting rights executive order to entrench fraud into the system. State of Georgia fails to produce chain of custody for 404,000 absentee ballots months after a contested election. Amazon quietly banning more conservative and patriotic books claiming that they're hate speech. We have the White House restricting senior Department of Homeland Security officials from sharing border crisis info with reporters. Now, I'm different column, but I'm quickly going to skip to it. We got a video of hundreds of illegals walking across the border into Arizona. So this is only increasing, but White House restricting DHS officials from sharing that type of information with the Fourth Estate, with the media. California high school suspends baseball players for posing in picture without masks. So suspended on your permanent record for not wearing masks. Because you had a picture not wearing masks, that is. Moving on to the second column now, officially. As I said, we have video of hundreds of illegals walking across the border, just starting. But continuing on in the security column, Chinese president tells the PLA, the People's Liberation Army, to be prepared to respond in unstable times. And there's also a wholly different article that goes into detail about how the U.S. and China could go to war. Now, Guam, of course, major military base in the Pacific. They're saying the Indo-PACCOM, the commander there, says, guess what? We need more defenses, or China has a chance of knocking out Guam. And if they knock out Guam, that being one of our nuclear capable areas, that puts us at a very serious disadvantage. You know, instead of a Pearl Harbor, be hitting Guam first. FBI releases new video of suspect planting bombs the night before the Capitol riot. Israeli Prime Minister tells the vice president that Israel will never allow Iran to obtain nukes. Iran responds, says, we'll level Tel Aviv. We've been talking about this for quite some time, and, well, this stuff's been going on for quite a while, but you never know when Iran and Israel finally do come to blows. Even in a limited fashion, could be very devastating and destabilizing. So we certainly keep track of that on Future Danger and beyond. Chinese hackers likely to have netted high-value espionage targets using Microsoft Outlook exploit. Capitol Police, well, they requested 2,000 National Guard troops stay an extra 60 days protecting the Capitol. Moving on, third column. Not too much, but I have a lot to talk about in the maybe the third or fourth segment of Patriot Power Hour tonight. That's not necessarily on here, but it's more of a long-term trend. However, both the articles or sets of articles here related to economics that that are here today on the News Blitz are extremely important, I think. First, as I alluded to a little earlier, $1.9 trillion coronavirus federal spending law. Well, that's been passed by the Senate, and they believe the House is on the way to pass that. Another couple trillion dollars. And the other set of economic articles, Bitcoin could soon run headfirst into federal government money laundering laws. Again, I'll save that for another segment so we don't get bogged down on that. But what they're trying to do is, wow, it's pretty amazing what they're trying to do and would like to do. All but impossible, but it's going to be a heck of a battle. So we'll talk about that. But let's get on to the fourth column and, you know, being the one-year, unofficial one-year show. Episode of Patriot Power Hour. I'm much more scared about the vaccine than the real virus personally. And some of the articles we're seeing here, we're seeing officially acknowledged by the CDC 1,265 deaths as a result of the vaccine. So more than 1,000 deaths officially recognized by the CDC, with thousands and thousands of injuries, more than 25,000 injuries. What is an injury? I mean, it could be some really bad stuff. Qualifies as an injury. So that's tens of thousands of people hurt really bad officially already. And a very small percentage of the population has even gotten this so far. Another report, Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine killed 40 times more old people than the virus itself would have. Now, you got to go through there and read through the numbers. We're just reporting it here in Patriot Power Hour. But showing that the Pfizer vaccine could end up killing many, many more times people. 88% of COVID deaths occurred in countries where over half the population is overweight. So, I mean, it's pretty simple. If you're overweight, your chances of dying extremely much, much more. Ebola death toll, back to the good old Ebola, up to 13 in Africa. Again, watching that, hopefully that doesn't ever mutate or get released somehow on a global basis. Come on. Interesting, low level, but I find them very interesting. Articles here, kind of natural news, non-COVID related. The biggest and fastest known asteroid flyby of this year is going to take place on March 21st on the spring equinox. It's going to be less than 75% of the distance between Earth and the moon. Where this asteroid is going to pass. So it's essentially passing between the Earth and the moon. And it's a big boy, too. It's big and it's fast. It's not going to hit us, but it just shows there are bullets out there. It is Russian roulette at some point. And we also have a 6-inch, just this little 6-inch meteor explodes over Vermont with the force of 440 pounds of TNT. Get 440 pounds of TNT. That's something like Bugs Bunny would put together, a big pile of TNT in a Looney Tune adventure. That's just a 6-inch meteor hitting 440 pounds of explosives. So, knock on wood, we got our own problems here on Earth, but there's some from above. And we also got some volcano action and some other small earthquakes. But let me bring future Dan on, get his take. We've got about 4 or 5 minutes till we go to break. And future Dan, watch out for those asteroids, even though we got a lot more problems down here. But geez, if we thought we didn't have enough potential threats, I guess.
Yeah, that's your black swan, right? So pretty mild topical news. Nothing jumping out and tearing us apart, making us, you know, get ready to, you know, pull off family contingency plans. But that kind of lull, you know, generally we're probably not outside of 4 weeks away from, you know, the type of news that motivates. You know what I mean?
For sure. And I always say this, while we are a weekly show and the News Blitz specifically focuses on the news of the past week or even just really the last couple of days generally, just because it's not showing up as a news item right now doesn't mean the problem was solved or all the issues we've talked about, whether it's debt and culture and society at large, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of those issues not only haven't gotten solved, but have gotten worse. So, I'm never at a lack of things to discuss here, but I do want to try to come up with solutions, not just complain. You know, I think we try to do that here, but we're going to try to do that, you know, more, especially hopefully next week, get a guest on. That's the goal. Talk a little bit more solutions and being proactive.
Yeah, you want to tease that a little bit, tell people what we got in the works?
Yes, sir. So you had this great idea last week after our show. We were just talking a little bit, and you said, hey, what about melting down precious metals, and specifically silver? And whether that's aggregating jewelry, which may not be maybe plated, or maybe 97% or 92% silver, or with gold, you know, 18 karat, I believe, is 75% gold. Anyway, it may not be pure bullion or coinage level, and you can melt down old jewelry. Or conversely, if you have 1 ounce or 10 ounce or 100 ounce bars of silver, like many a prepper has, maybe you have just one thousand ounce bar. Okay, some people actually have that, and you can melt it down into 1 ounce bars or coins of your own. You can almost become your own mint in a Mad Max situation. And on one hand, it's kind of, oh, well, you know, how practical is that? But on the other hand, if we are talking about a EMP or a grid down situation, and there is no internet, there is no cash, really, having the ability to not only accept others' precious metals and get more value out of it, but also kind of divvy up your stash into smaller bits would be pretty cool. So we're going to talk about that with a guest, but hopefully. And we got a lot of other cool things about bartering and best practices. So, dang it, I'm looking forward to it.
That's a big tease, yeah. Yeah, hopefully that isn't some information of the show repeated next week. No, seriously, we're gonna do some research. We're gonna ask more questions than we are going to answer for folks. It's not going to be a how-to show so much as a what if, and what can you think about doing at the next step and the next step with silversmithing in a, you know, grid down scenario, without rule of law scenario, and with excessive rule of law. How would you go about protecting your wealth in bullion privately?
And all credit to you for coming up with this idea, because I'm obviously a proponent of precious metals, and as part of your a complete balanced prepper breakfast. But There's a lot of these questions I don't have no answers to either, or at least I'd like to get some others' opinions. So definitely looking forward to that. And a lot more coming up on Patriot Power Hour and PBN in 2021. But we're going to break. Go check out PrepperBroadcasting.com. If you're not a member of the Continuity, do so. And don't forget, we have some archives on sale. PBN, add it to your prepper stash, okay? Hours and hours of legit, legit podcasts. We'll be back. Patriot Power Hour.
Out to those that want to learn and practice independence and self-reliance. We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Patriot Power Hour, we're back for the second half of this March 9th, 2021 episode. I believe what episode 132, of course, sponsored by FutureDanger.com. So I think besides the actual economic, I think first off from COVID, some of the biggest damage obviously is to the families and the people who lost loved ones, right? But then it's economic. But I think just as bad, or maybe, you know, in the long term, could be worse, is the have they taken liberty, okay? The attack on liberty, attack on freedom, and just overall takeover of society. So this article on Future Danger that we reviewed in the news blitz of California high school suspending baseball players for posing in pictures without masks, and a couple of these other articles we reviewed either this week or in previous weeks, where getting a vaccine will allow you to, you know, maybe a vaccine passport, if not in America yet, at least in other countries, and this kind of second-class citizen if you're not vaccinated or this, that, and the other thing. I feel like that's the most dangerous, one of the most dangerous things we're dealing with here. Now, I guess my question for you, Future Dan, is what's the most effective way to fight back against this? Are you, you know, for example, do you think just, I guess, do you think that you can convince people otherwise? Or do you just kind of ignore it, go out in public, don't wear masks, but don't actually try to convince people otherwise? You think it's too late, the sheeple out there? I'm just wondering, how do you try to fight back, or do you just try to live your own life and people around you and not get caught up in this whole kind of craze?
Yeah, well, I never stopped wearing a mask or started wearing a mask outside. But then again, there hasn't been crowds to be in. Right. And there hasn't been any businesses that could say, hey, you know, in order to be on premises, you have to wear a mask outside. But inside, the private businesses were coerced by local government and now have adopted it. Probably a massive, tort system, lawsuit regime in behind the scenes, and insurances, which I'm sure you're well versed in, that are going to enforce, the masks in stores for, could be years. Yep. But, entering a store, wearing a mask and leaving, doing your business and leaving is, that's not the end of the world to have to wear a mask in there. But it's always been, and it will be, all the social gatherings, the restaurants, the malls, the concerts outside. And our federal system should take care of this. If people in Massachusetts are predominantly in favor of mandating that, it'll, so it'll be. And if people in Florida aren't, so it'll be. And I could comment that, the White House 100 Days of Mask kind of, you know, we're going to get the real police state on, you know, quarantine procedures now that Biden's in the White House. Doesn't seem like they went in that direction. So I'm not sure what's going on. They might be looking at coming in with a success story 4 years from now that how they overcame social distancing and mask wearing and return things to normal, right? That could be a way to ride popular sentiment into an election if most Americans are sick and tired of wearing, you know, enduring this by then. It could very well be the case, but the police state measures you talk about in that high school where a bunch of players sitting around outside, they obviously don't have to play baseball on the diamond wearing masks, and yet they sat together for a photo and got suspended. That kind of petty tyranny, that police state being in, you know,
right,
built into our population and schools, that's kind of the, you know, what I look at is long-term damage.
Yeah, and let's just take the actual illness or pandemic out of the equation. Whether it truly is dangerous or not, there are a lot of people looking to take advantage of the situation. There's a lot of tyrants and statists that want to exert power and use this as a means to an end and use this as a beta test to set up their own. I'm not even just talking about with the mask, of course. I mean, that's one example, but the electronic censorship and the kind of psychological warfare, I guess is a way to put it, against a group of people. I mean, we've seen it obviously against Trump, right? Targeted attacks against Trump, but we're also seeing it now used on other groups and really society as a whole. So I think what you said was very possible. And the next year or two, they'll be like, okay, and by they, the global controllers, whoever they are, we won't go into that right now. But they may say, all right, look, it's pretty obvious the disease has run its course. We've put these people through a lot. We got great results in our social engineering. So, yeah, we'll take our foot off their neck for a little bit and hit them somewhere else. They've been very, very efficient with that, kind of shearing the sheep, right? But don't kill it. They've been very efficient in that in finance. So I could see them doing that kind of from a medical point of view and society, too.
Just kind of, you know, tighten the grip and then loosen, tighten it elsewhere, but always tighter somewhere, right?
Oh, exactly. Yes, the aggregate is always growing, yes.
Yeah, I'm still not always able to just, you know, swallow this idea of some anonymous day, you know, puppet master, unattributed, New World Order, globalist. It's just them. It's just the them. I'm always wanting to, you know, actually break it down. And I've repeated this before. I heard Alex Jones say it, and I tended to agree with it when I heard it. It is, you know, you just have gangs of degenerate criminals who've obtained power, wealth, gamed the system, risen to, you know, positions of authority. But they're constantly at odds with each other, too. Look at the governor of New York right now.
Yeah.
I mean, and these phenomenon where, you know, in politically volatile times, you know, the groups will, you know, start destroying themselves from within. And that's, you're seeing that in the Democrat Party in New York State. And you're actually seeing a New York legislature stand up to a governor in, you know, checks and balances fashion that's supposed to be, you know, a feature, a beneficial feature of
it's a feature, not a bug.
Forms of government. Yeah, yeah. Well, in China it would be a bug, but in our system it's a feature that, you know, a state legislature and a governor are in contraposition, like
right?
Our Congress and presidency should be, right? Even when it's, you know, controlled by one party, occasionally they assert themselves, these branches of government,
right?
So, you know, it's extremely strange times. I think the biggest takeaway from tonight's show, as we reflect, we're not in the thick of it with dangerous news right now, so we have time to reflect. And in reflection, it's just so remarkable how this time last year we couldn't predict where we are this time this year. And so it goes 12 months out. It's very difficult to anticipate. You can categorize it like future danger, or you can just make it a lot simpler and just, get into bigger categories, which preppers do, right? People talk about on this network frequently about, classes of things you're prepared for and what the differences and similarities are and what gear and what skills you need broadly and which ones are more, more narrowly defined. NBC guy, Dave Jones, is a perfect example. Is, chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear knowledge is paramount to have that and the gear and the skills, but in a narrow scenario, right? Point is, we couldn't have anticipated where we got to societally 12 months ago. You and I weren't talking about where lockdowns and vaccines would be this time last year, because in the middle of it, of the middle of the panic, few have that kind of foresight.
Oh no, and I think we were focused, and it's not necessarily a bad thing that we were looking at kind of worst case scenario or that 10% fatality rate in 1 year, disease X. But we were focused on that for sure. We were not looking at this as a long term effect. And to be honest, we're just starting to wrap our head around it, and we haven't even, I think as a society, haven't even seen the true effects show themselves. Well, guys, we are going to be going to break here for our final break. We'll be back for another 15 or so minutes with Next Generation coming up. But as always, PrepperBroadcasting.com. It's overgone makeover recently, so if you haven't been there for a while, looks beautiful. You can see all the different show pages. Very handy way to get to all the archives if you don't already download all of the different stuff to your phone. So PrepperBroadcasting.com. You can find our contact info there as well. We'll be right back with the end of the Patriot Power Hour. We'll be right back.
You may have noticed the traditional media disguises and conceals the truth. Even when the truth is not being hidden, your attention is being misdirected. You're focused on some things to distract you from others. Future Danger assembles the key liberty, security, economic, and natural news of the day, sourcing from both mainstream and alternative media. What's more important to a prepper than knowledge? Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. FutureDanger.com.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Come on, man.
And with the local DBC news, LL Cool J with a triumphant comeback.
More a solo. But tonight,
don't call it a comeback.
Patriot Power Hour, we're back, and we are live for our final segment. As I look over, watch, Bitcoin has breached the $55,000 level. Now, it's not at its all-time high, which it was a couple weeks ago, around $58,000. But after dropping from $58,000 to about $41,000, skyrocketed back up to $55,000. What I really want to talk about, not just the price, oh, it's up, oh, it's down, oh, make money, don't make money, number goes up, whatever. That stuff, is nice if you own some, and I do suggest looking into and researching. But what I want to look at, Future Dan, is a conundrum and a threat by the U.S. government. And it hasn't been passed into law by any means, but this is an article from Future Danger that we touched on briefly. It is that Bitcoin, and even I really think this applies to all cryptocurrencies, but we'll just say Bitcoin for now, could soon run headfirst into U.S. money laundering laws. So,
what are those? What happened there? Where'd the laws come from?
And that's the thing. There actually are some laws that apply to the interface between your bank and an exchange where you buy Bitcoin. So, for example, if you, like, let's say you use, I don't know, JP Morgan or Citibank or any U.S. based bank, or actually many throughout the world, but let's just say U.S. based bank, your bank account that you get direct deposit from or whatnot. If you want to use that to deposit money that you're going to buy Bitcoin with later on an exchange, they are required, if this exchange is going to follow the rules, and pretty much all of them out there do follow the rules, I'm sure
inside
there's
the United States.
Yeah, they have to collect your ID, right? A picture of you as well. So pretty much you have to scan your ID. You have to give them
Patriot Act.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Know your customer is what they call it. But essentially, it's anti-money laundering / anti-terrorism. Yes. So there's a lot of parts to that, though. So I don't want to get too complex with that. But long story short, well, how about this? A lot of people know that if you move more than $10,000 in the U.S. banking system or try to transfer it overseas or even on an airplane, you go to a different country, right? You have to declare that transaction. And that doesn't apply right now to Bitcoin. But what they're trying to do, this is not law yet, but they're trying to require that you report to the U.S. Treasury and de facto the IRS and the money laundering police and all that, the banksters. Guess what? They're going to require you to report private transactions, even between your own accounts, let alone with people you're having private business with. So one thing you ask, of course, is that enforceable? And we could talk about that. But I think it's just the gall of them to require you to report private transactions. And again, this, what I'm talking about, is not with your bank. This is once you already have some Bitcoin and you send it to a friend or you send it to a business to purchase something. If it's more than $10,000 worth, they're going to try to require you to report it. It's pretty outlandish, I think, but.
Can they make it happen, though? Is it enforceable? Why not get a wallet, with a VPN from abroad?
Well, that's what the smart people will be doing, or already are doing, of course. But this may—I think this has many layers to it. A big part of it's just the chilling effect, right? They want to try to force people to. I mean, a lot of people will comply. A good portion will just do this. Just like a good portion will just line up and get vaccines because they're told to. So put that in the bag, half the population. Maybe less for Bitcoin because a lot of them are anti-authority, quote unquote. But that's free money for the IRS Treasury. Might as well do that. Number two, they could go after some big whales. You know, if you dodge taxes and you owe a few $100, they're probably not going to drop the hammer on you. But if you're Wesley Snipes or you owe, tens of millions of dollars, and it's pretty flagrant, they'll come after you with everything. So I can see them doing
right.
That. You know, if you're moving $1 million worth of Bitcoin, they may get you. Maybe, $15,000, maybe not. $50,000, $100,000. And the way Bitcoin's going these days, I mean, that could be a lot of people could be subject to that.
So creation of wallets, transfers of amounts, isn't it basically a toothless, there's no enforcement of this. You can break it down into, multiple wallets, and everyone can be well below any threshold. You can do hundreds of wallets, and
yeah.
How are they going to make that difficult? That, I guess that's my question. People are thinking about this already,
right?
It didn't take a professional red team to immediately see how you escape some of these things.
That's a good point. Just look at good old Prohibition. People escaped Prohibition. It just raised the cost and made it more difficult. And some people did get in trouble, and it did have a black market. Did arise, for better or worse. So the long-term question is, will it stop the tsunami that is Bitcoin, and will it be officially, you know, halted and overtaken by Fedcoin or some equivalent central bankster currency, right? That's a question.
How, though? What, why would it be overtaken? Like,
official organizations will say, well, we will not use Bitcoin now because it's too risky, or there's too many requirements, or too expensive, for example. In theory.
Right after Tesla put $1.5 billion into it.
Well, that's, you know, Elon Musk isn't Tesla typical Fortune 100.
SpaceX, which launches classified satellites. Like,
true.
Is the U.S. government going to stop doing business and subsidizing solar, you know, or electrical cars that are, you know, questionably competitive with combustion engine, you know, technology anyways? That probably only exists because during the Obama administration there were massive tax breaks given to people to try to invent electric cars. You know, and the sister company launches satellites. Like, I think it's – I don't see any true enforcement of this thing, which every time I, you know, kind of do this thought experiment down to how are they going to really block it? Like, how, what could they do to interrupt the blockchain? It always comes back to, that's a hell of an invention.
No. Oh, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I agree. It's just they can't do anything to stop the blockchain, but they can haul your ass to jail. They'll have proof. There's ways to hide your activity to some degree, but one of the biggest misconceptions of Bitcoin is that it's truly anonymous. It's not. So the feds could just come with guns and just take you away and say you didn't comply with law XYZ of the U.S. Treasury code, and you're coming to jail, and we're putting you in jail for 20 years.
That's not effective policing in the long run. That doesn't stop anybody from really money laundering, and it's making, you know, examples out of people to scare the general populace, which isn't laundering money in the first place, into obeying tax code. But it's not going to stop a drug cartel from hiring hundreds of people in Asia to set up bank accounts and, you know, wallets and just sending it from, you know, for example, Mexico to Thailand, you know, through Eastern Europe and then back into, you know, some bank accounts in Colombia. That's money laundering. I don't think they can stop it.
Well, cash is used for the most money laundering. Anyone that's watched the Narcos miniseries or whatever.
Is it anymore?
Well, not anymore, baby. Now it's just straight up the Fed wire system.
Well, you know, that's monitored. Right? Fiat's monitored, and it's not a blockchain that reconciles. Are you sure massive amounts of actual international criminal money isn't flowing through Bitcoin daily? How could it not be, Ben?
Maybe now. I mean, long story short, a year ago when Bitcoin was only $5,000 a year ago, there just wasn't enough actual market cap. I mean, the drug laundering is hundreds of billions of dollars a year. All Bitcoin combined is right now only worth $1 trillion. This time last year, like $200 billion. So,
well, that trillion's a thousand billion. Hundreds of billions of drug cartel money. Think about it. Yeah. How could it not be there? How could it not be the fastest and best way to make major moves?
Well, post-COVID now. For sure.
Nothing on your machine with your wallet. If your wallet's worth millions and millions of dollars, there's nothing. I mean, I think that's where our intelligence agency wants to get to, our law enforcement. They want to get to the point of knowing how much crypto you actually even have, and to start spying on the computers, especially overseas. You know, I don't think they have control of this. I think it's the entire thing is certainly out of the control of any government. And if they get to the point where they decide the only way to stop it is to shut the electricity off, then it's dangerous for the rest of us, right?
I would think and hope they'd never get that far, but it's pretty crazy. It's just, I guess something I didn't know until maybe 7 or 8 years ago was that they made gold essentially illegal, and you had to cash it in back in FDR days. Now, a lot of people did not do that, but a lot of people did, and I don't even know. Actually, good question. I don't know how many people may have been prosecuted for that, but it did have an effect. But guess what? A lot of people did not comply, so.
Exactly right, but there were people prosecuted that, like you said, actually, I hadn't thought about it, but just exactly like you said, they made examples of people to try to put fear into the rest, to get, you know, someone who's not very technically savvy, you know, was an immigrant, not a native to digital technologies, older people who, you know, are concerned that their bank might shut them off if they bought crypto and keep them out of that. But it's on the side of history, the direction we see so many things slipping towards more dangerous, less favorable conditions for freedom and liberty.
Yeah.
But maybe that's why we dwell on this invention, this blockchain, this finite community of you know, that has decided, well, we're going to buy these digital tokens and decide they're worth money. Because why not? It's as legitimate as fiat greenbacks at this point. Since Nixon took us off the gold standard, isn't this a logical outcome?
In a way, it is. It's super interesting. We'll see where the chips may fall in the long run, but it's extremely interesting case study. And like you said, not just finance, but human psychology, behavioral economics, and just kind of society at large, and economics at large, and politics. I mean, politics is just kind of how to divvy up the money in a way, and who gets to control. That's what a lot of it is, at least. So
for what it's worth, if you've listened to this show to this point, you're probably really interested in the types of things we talk about on Patriot Power Hour, which are in juxtaposition to the more practical, you know, not more practical, completely practical, hands-on, do-it-yourself prepping advice that you get from Gun Metal Armory, Next Generation, the Daily Audio Caches, and then, you know, even further and more specific on the continuity side, the paid subscription portion of the network, right? We're more of the contemporary information environment that in which you learn those skills and think about these contingencies. But next week we're going to have a special, Ben, and we're going to get into, you know, what it would look like to smelt ores and be practical and maybe put out a little bit of content and ask some questions about a practical skill for preppers that no one's really explored, you know, or at least take it to a new level. So I'm looking forward to that season finale. We're going to finish winter 2021 on the 16th of March and bring it back 2 weeks later, like we usually do. Take a break every quarter, reset, refresh Patriot Power Hour.
You know it. And that's the show, guys. We're out of here. You know what I might do? I might even create a continuity members only video of myself creating my own silver smelting forge. I might have to commit to that future day. Anyway, guys,
burn yourself.
We're getting out of here. Gonna make way for Next Generation show. Like I said, we'll be back with the season finale next week, Tuesday, 8 p.m. Future Dan, another great show in the bag.
Good show, Ben.
All right, buddy. Catch you guys later.